about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audience, it has finally happened. You will remember the day where you were. Take 78.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
You guys are up next.
Oh, boy. Hey, Jerry. Yeah. If Emily Chang asked me a question and it looks like I'm going to have a panic attack, then you should just jump in there.
You're going to be fine. Look at you. You've got the hair of Giovanni Ribisi and the complexion of Timothy Hutton and the eyes of Joni Mitchell. You're like a Mr. Potato Head of beautiful people.
Plus, this is a pre-tape, so if anything terrible happens, they can always edit it out. Yeah. Okay, you're up.
And now.
I don't like bad-mouthing people. This is not who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a good person. And let me just tell you, they're both kind of assholes.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 29th of May.
You got to check out that Barry show, Allie. I think you'd like it very much.
I haven't heard much about it, really.
Yeah, yeah. There's this lady I listen to on the radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's all she talks about is Barry.
Right, wow. She talks about other things, too.
But Barry a lot.
Yeah.
Barry mostly. Yeah.
Noho Hank's the best.
Right. Hey, party people. How are you?
Good.
How is everybody?
Doing good.
Good. How are you?
How was the weekend?
The weekend was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of relaxing on my part.
Yeah.
I didn't do as much going out as I usually would on a holiday weekend.
Right.
And I loved it.
It's good,
and
right?
And I feel like I caught up on a lot of sleep, a lot of television.
Yes.
Maybe a movie.
Yeah. It's so excited about you catching up on television.
Sleep and TV. I mean, look, those are the two most important things in your life.
It felt pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I did the same thing. Sleep and TV.
Yeah, mine was the opposite of that.
I'm shocked.
I went out a lot.
Yeah.
Friday night, Galaxy game.
Sure.
K-Rock listeners.
All right. I saw pictures from that. It looked like a lot of fun.
By the way, just the listeners that are so cool.
Yeah.
Just so nice and amazing and happy, and it was just an amazing night.
It seemed like you were like the Lion King.
What?
You were being held up.
No.
Like they were chanting around you. Some man held you up. You look like Felipe Garcia.
I don't think that happened.
I just said Garcia.
You did say Garcia.
Yeah, that was weird.
No,
but
it's one of the cheering groups, the LA Riot Squad.
Yeah.
And I was leading some of the, you know, chants, like
but,
I do.
But they held you like Simba.
No, no one held me.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Allie's convinced somebody was holding you over their head.
But Saturday, finally I got to see Deadpool 2.
Okay.
Because last weekend I was at EDC, so I didn't get to see it.
Right.
But I saw that Saturday.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Of course. Right.
You'll go see it again at least once.
Probably.
All right.
And then Sunday, poker tournament.
Wow.
Which is pretty fun.
Wow.
And then Monday, I did a little resting.
Did you?
Yeah, I feel great.
Awesome.
That's quite a weekend.
You should tell your face.
That's.
I didn't get as much rest as some of the people in the room.
Right.
Right.
Yes. What are you going to do?
That's more in one weekend than I would do in 6 months. I mean, seriously.
It's only three things.
Yeah, every 2 months I do a thing. Hey, remember the story I brought you guys a few weeks ago? And Allie, in particular, it was a nightmare for you because it was somebody who left a poor Yelp review and the manager showed up at her house.
Yes.
10:30 at night or something, rang the doorbell, wanted to talk to her about her review. We were like, oh my God, what a nightmare. Well, here's a different kind of Yelp nightmare. This is a Manhattan woman whose name is Michelle Levine, and she gave a one-star Yelp review to her gynecologist. She found a new gynecologist. What? Why are we laughing?
I don't know. I just find it funny that you're Yelp reviewing a gynecologist.
She, I guess she needed a new gynecologist, and she found one. She went to Dr. June Song of the New York Robotic Gynecology and Women's Health.
Sounds sexy.
She went to him for a checkup. A week later, she saw that he had billed her insurance company $1,304.32 for the new patient visit and ultrasound, and she got a bill for $427 that wasn't covered.
And that was just her first visit?
Yes, she said. Yes, she was shocked by that. She also says that a lot of the stuff that they billed the insurance company for, he didn't even do. For instance, a manual pelvic exam. All he did was interview her. The doctor claimed that he gave her pelvic and breast exams, but he did not. So she called the office to complain about it, and she says they were immediately aggressive, and they said that she had come in complaining of pelvic pain, which she hadn't, by the way, according to her. She said, that's not why I went at all. I just went for a checkup.
Right.
I was so disgusted, I wrote a review on several sites, including Yelp, Health Grades, and ZocDoc. Here's what she wrote. ZocDoc must be a Yelp for medical procedures, I imagine. Yeah. Very poor and crooked business practice, she said. I suspect that this doctor gives unnecessary procedures to a lot of people and then charges the insurance company sky-high prices and no one knows the difference. Everything about my one and only visit there has caused me emotional distress and panic, and now they're asking me to cough up an extra $500 for services I didn't even need. So what happens next? 2 weeks later, she gets a letter in the mail from her doctor's attorneys telling her she is being sued for $1 million.
Wow.
Oh, my.
And I guess I never really thought about that, but if you actually did put something in an online review that was factually false, I guess you could be sued for libel or slander, whichever one it is when you write it, right? I mean, I guess you could say something untrue that would be actionable. She claims that's not the case here. So far, she has been fighting this in court, and I don't understand why. I'd love to see a breakup of this, except we know attorneys are expensive. She says so far it has cost her close to $20,000 to defend herself from her Yelp review that she says was completely accurate. I mean, look, anytime you get dragged into court, it's going to cost you money, whether you're right or wrong.
Yeah.
They've tried to drag my startup wine and spirits technology business into it. They've posted my entire medical records, including notes about my mental health, my bills, my insurance information, my driver's license, birth date, and home address online.
Wait, isn't that against the law?
Yeah.
All of that is against the law. Yes.
What?
That's what she says. So it has apparently gotten very nasty. And there's no resolution in this article from the New York Post, so I don't know what's going to end up happening.
But she's going to end up owning that practice.
I hope so. I mean, I can't imagine. Look, you look for motive in a situation like this. There's no incentive for her to go online and write a terrible review of a doctor's visit unless something happened, right?
I mean, I would assume so. Some people.
Why would you make that up about somebody you don't even know?
Complain all the time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like she was very specific.
And I don't know about you guys, but in the past year, I have noticed some really shady practices by doctors, dentists, saying you need a lot of work done when you don't, getting bills when you're like, I'm sorry, that never happened, and then you can't get a hold of them, and then they're blaming the insurance company. Insurance company is saying they never heard from anyone. There is something really shady going on
really?
Right now. Oh, yeah.
Not to mention electricians and those types of
plumbers. Yeah, plumbers. Everything.
Oh, you need to redo everything.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Allie. I mean, I wonder if this is just part of that trend, or is this something that this doctor's probably doing just all the time? And most people, it's just, it's paperwork, too much trouble.
Right. Go ahead and pay it.
Go ahead and pay it, exactly. So, anyway, I'll keep you posted if I see any kind of it shouldn't cost $20,000 to defend yourself from something like this.
No, agreed. No,
it really should. Those lawyers are billing some hours, I'll tell you that. Or claiming they are, anyway.
Allegedly.
So no bueno.
No bueno.
See, this is why this lady shouldn't have left her house. If she was more like Allie and me, she'd have been in her apartment all weekend. She wouldn't have to worry about stuff like this.
I never get my hoo-ha checked for this reason.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love you, and I can't wait to get home and wreck you.
That was disturbing.
Yeah.
He's happy to see you, Kevin.
I don't know if you watched the Vegas Golden Knights game last night, Stanley Cup final.
I watched a lot of it.
Did you watch the pregame?
No, I tuned in 3 minutes in to the game. Medieval times again?
What are you doing, Vegas? Medieval times would be a huge step up.
Right. It's insane.
It's really, and I was really surprised by all the people who thought it was wonderful. I don't know if they're just, you know, lying to promote it, like NHL on NBC, which is where it was. It was on NBC Sports. They said Vegas sure knows how to put on a show. And I was like, did we watch the same thing?
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. We're going to have to talk about that.
It's an embarrassment. They become famous for their pregame shows in their first season.
It's an embarrassment.
People have been talking about it all year long.
Yes, but for the wrong reasons.
All right.
Great news.
Great news.
Great news. Also on today's show, Beer Mug fought the law and the law won.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Again?
I mean...
Assholes.
He's bringing it today. Ali's James Bond review.
I can't wait.
Excellent.
Now, what movie did you end up watching?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of debate about which one should be my first.
You put it out online and got suggestions. Okay.
Wow.
Because you haven't seen one of the entire...
Not a one.
Okay. Mm-mm. So where do you start and how do
you... Now you have 23 more to watch, Ali.
Do I?
If you know what's good for you.
Sounds like the review just happened. And comedian Taylor Williamson joins us in studio. Love him so much.
Yeah.
And we're going to check in with 97-year-old Barney Smith.
Yeah. Oh, Barney.
Who told us, and I quote, "I'll speak to you on Tuesday if I'm still alive."
No, sir.
That's what he said.
Oh, Barney, I hope he's alive.
But I assume he was joking.
If we call him, that phone just rings.
Right?
Just this once, Kevin.
No.
Can I say?
No.
Well, he didn't answer the phone. He must be dead.
No, because he could be asleep. He could be doing anything.
Okay.
Painting on his toilet seats, whatever.
It's more likely he's dead, though.
No.
Right? He's 97.
Right, but...
That's a danger every day.
Every single time somebody doesn't answer their phone, it doesn't mean they're dead, even if they're 97.
But I was right about Petros.
You were completely wrong. 100% wrong.
If people don't know who Barney is, and you just said he could be painting on his toilet seat, that sounds...
sounds odd.
Sounds weird.
Okay.
Sounds weird.
That's his thing, though.
Yeah.
He takes toilet seats that are not on working toilets.
Right.
And he paints them.
Right.
Creates artwork.
He has an entire museum. Mm-hmm. And
I pooped my pants.
So. No, he... What?
I think that was from our last call with him.
No.
I think it was. Anyway, we will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Blink 182, you guys.
Right.
Playing Las Vegas. Doing a residency there. We got tickets you can win all this week at the Pearl at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas on June 8th. We're talking about a one-night stay at the casino resort, round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Blink bus, which, Kevin, I hope you're going to be driving.
Of course. Who should be driving that more than me?
Yeah. Your chance to win coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day, 9 a.m., noon, 3, and 6 p.m. KROQ.com for details. Hey, Ali, what's happening?
What's happening is now the never-ending onslaught of think pieces about Disney, about Star Wars. Is it oversaturation? Is it too much? Should they release less? Should they make less? Every single article over the weekend was like, oh, well, it's over. Star Wars
over.
Is over. It only made $103 million. It's over.
Wait.
People, calm the F down.
Wait, hold on. It made $103 million?
Yeah, it was projected to make about $130 to $150.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
When they project that,
yeah,
that's not necessarily accurate. So
no.
Just because they project 130, mm-hmm. 103 is a failure? No.
For
it made $103 million.
Yeah, a lot of people say for Disney and for a Star Wars movie, that is a failure.
Huh.
However, I saw the movie.
Yeah.
I saw the movie twice. It is freaking great. So if people are not seeing this because they're like, oh, how, I don't need to see a Han Solo standalone. That's ridiculous. Blah. It is so fun. It is a blast. And I'll take it. Thank you.
Same. I loved it.
It was a blast.
But I think, you know what I think they do? I think they're comparing it to the best Star Wars movies. But
right.
When you compare it with all other movies.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it pulled in $103 million, followed by Deadpool, pulled in another $55 million. Number three, Avengers Infinity War, another $21 million. And then rounding out the top five, Book Club and Life of the Party, coming in six, Breaking In, seven, Show Dogs, eight, Overboard, followed by A Quiet Place, and holding strong, being RBG, bringing in, oh yeah. Kids love Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
They sure do.
Oh, 1.6 million. Yeah. Goodness gracious. I was pleasantly surprised by how many people tweeted me over the weekend that maybe weren't going to see Han Solo this weekend, maybe wait a while, and saw it and said, you were right. I'm going to start listening to you from now on.
No, they didn't
say
that.
Well, don't do that.
Okay, that second part didn't happen.
Right.
But so many people enjoyed it. It is a fun time at the movie.
Agreed.
Damn it.
Somebody's got Disney stock.
I wish.
Did you guys see this story over the weekend? It was tweeted to me probably more than any other story in a very long time.
Okay.
The folks at Sesame Street have filed a lawsuit against STK Entertainment, STX Entertainment, sorry, to that restaurant, STK, STX Entertainment last week, claiming that the company's marketing campaign for Melissa McCarthy's R-rated film, The Happy Time Murders, uses scenes of drug use, sex, and other foul behavior by puppets.
Yeah, it looks
and
awesome.
And has the tagline, No Sesame, All Street. And the Sesame Street creators believe that using the puppets tarnishes their Sesame Street brand.
Really?
Come on.
Really?
If,
it's not Kermit.
It is not.
I mean, come on.
It is no puppet that you'd recognize
right,
and be
point.
Like, oh, wait, that's Big Bird doing a line of blow.
Right.
It's not. It's different puppets doing really suspect, wonderful things.
It looks awesome.
And they can't own all puppets.
Right?
Other people should be allowed to do puppets, right? But I can see how they might not like the use of the Sesame and Street in that tagline for the ad, I'll tell you that.
But it's not going to confuse anyone because it says no Sesame. That's
right.
The first
right.
line of it.
No Sesame, all street. Do you think Brian Henson is like, keep it coming? That means more people are watching that trailer. Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
And if you haven't seen the trailer, dare I say, watch the...
The Red Band.
I was going to say Red Tube. That's a totally different trailer.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and watch that one.
Very different.
The Red Band trailer, but I'm warning you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't watch it at work unless you want people crowding around your computer mm-hmm. and then at the very end thinking, oh, what did I do?
And at the very end, cleaning your stuff out and
right,
leaving.
And then you're going into HR. It's a whole situation, but it is a fantastic trailer. I mean, puppets and murder, you guys.
Right?
It's like I wrote this. So good. All right, some birthdays for you. TV host and singer Mel B, actress Laverne Cox, singer-guitarist Noel Gallagher, comic Daniel Tosh, actress Annette Bening, composer Danny Elfman, and actor Rupert Everett. And that's what's happening.
If you went to Las Vegas at the beginning of the basketball season, you probably would have had to put down like $100 to win 10 on the Warriors and the Cavaliers not going back to the finals, right? Everybody expected this all season long. We were going to have it again. The
rematch. You mean going back to the finals?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying to bet on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I said it backwards.
Yes.
In hockey, what do you think the odds would have been on the Capitals being in the final, first of all, for the first time in 20 years, and a team no one had ever heard of last year being in the final in their first season?
I mean, they didn't exist technically last year.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy that this is where we're at, and it's crazy that that's happening.
I want to mock the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start with saying, look, people keep tweeting me that I'm bitter because the Kings got swept by the Vegas Knights.
Right.
Golden Knights. That hurts.
Uh-huh.
It's not ideal. And I am jealous of their success.
Sure.
Not their open, though. Their open is so stupid.
And if people check the tape, you were making fun of this open during the regular season.
Yes, because it's been awful.
Yeah, it's
now, I understand that Vegas has all these shows and it's all showbiz and they've got all the different. But usually what happens before the game is they say, well, I'll play some of what happened last night before game one of the Stanley Cup final. There's a woman that does a voiceover mm-hmm. and she talks about the different series.
The Golden Knights Army.
I'm out.
Vanquished.
I'm sorry?
I'm out.
How can you already be out? It just started.
Because it's the freaking Renaissance Fair.
It's the Ren Fair.
I don't want that in my hockey.
It's the people who didn't make the Ren Fair. They went to do this.
The Golden Knights Army has vanquished the Kings.
Nope.
All right, listen, that hurt. Okay, but it's true.
Feasted on sharks.
He feasted on sharks, Bean.
Oh,
and
see?
Grounded the Jets.
The Jets.
Grounded
right, okay.
The Jets. How crazy.
Conquering enemies on land.
Right.
Sea,
of course.
And air.
Air, sure.
The West
speed it up,
belongs
please.
To Vegas.
Speed it up.
Oh. Okay, now stop right there.
All right.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the Open is not for you? And that it is accomplishing exactly what it's put on ice to do, which is to get those fans of that team fired up and in a frenzy before the skaters come
those
out.
Fans of that team have plenty to be excited about with that team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need this fake pump-up BS.
But you hear them? I mean, they're going crazy for this opening.
They would go crazy for anything because the team's doing so well they're in the finals.
So if they had a seal out there juggling a ball,
right,
they would go just as crazy.
A magician doing card tricks. They'd just be losing their mind. Pick a card, any card. It's ridiculous. Now, Bean, I'm going to tell you something. I cut this down so much, there's still 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I cut it down. I probably cut 4 minutes out of it.
Right.
Because it's just music, and then they pose, and then a knight comes out on the ice that looks like he got his outfit from, like, a thrift shop. It's just, it's absurd.
The Golden Knight's army has grown.
That was a minute and a half musical I cut right there.
Once there were 31.
Yeah, we get it. Stuff on the ice, like a little light show with all the other teams going away, which they already, I mean, they already sort of said that they conquered.
Yeah, we covered that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Now only two remain. The capitals from the east attack our fortress.
Come on now.
This lady's got to be put down. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean.
Everybody in this opening skit has to be put down. This is terrible. And it was terrible during the entire season.
How are we deporting so many people in this country, right? But not the people behind this halftime show or this pregame show, I mean?
And they are here.
All right, now at this point, this is what happens every single time. There are three or four or five skaters that come out, and they're waving the Capitals flag, but they're not from the Capitals. They're wearing black capes and black, and everything's black because of the bad guys.
Oh, God.
So then everybody cheers and goes crazy because the bad guys are on the ice. And then the knight with the ridiculous clothing comes out. And he starts looking around, and nothing happens for, I don't know, a minute and a half. And then you hear some this. And he looks up in the stands.
What is happening?
And then a guy comes out with a catapult. And they load up the catapult high in the rafters, and then they shoot what should be a ball at the people on the ice, but it's just lighting. The lights, the balls are lights, and they come, and then the skaters fly like, oh my God, they just got destroyed by this.
Oh no!
But there's one left, and it's the Washington Capitol, and he's got the sword. And so there's a showdown at mid-ice.
Sure.
This is the part that drives me so crazy. Because the knight skates around, and then the other guy skates around, and then they have a fight. Now, during the season, they would have a sword fight where they were, I don't know, 8 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't even, why not at least touch swords?
Wow.
Right?
All right.
I mean, why not at least make it look a little bit real? So one swing, and then the opposition just loses their sword, and then the knight supposedly stabs him from 12 feet away, and he falls down, and everybody goes crazy.
It's the worst.
Stop.
All of these ideas are terrible.
Look, your team is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas.
Just go with that?
Go with that.
Yeah.
Your team is in the Stanley Cup final in their first year. Somebody could come out on stage and just say those words and people would go crazy.
It is enjoyable, though, to follow along on Twitter. To people that haven't seen
it. That haven't seen it before?
Some of my favorites.
This has been driving me crazy the entire season, but okay, go ahead.
Definitely shouldn't be legal to drive after watching this pregame ceremony. My blood type is now LSD. That one I loved. But this made me laugh so hard because it's true if you're watching. This guy said, the best part of the Vegas intro was the occasional cuts to players stretching in the back, completely unaware that a sword fight with catapults was happening outside. It's insanity.
It's insanity.
And it's like you're watching it and you're thinking, this game should have started five minutes ago. We are wasting hockey time.
Some guy tweeted me and said, what about the guys that paint their faces red? Because I famously said that. I was like, no, that's my point. The Blue Man Group is in Vegas.
Right.
They could put on a great show.
Sure.
Cirque du Soleil has 10 different shows there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do they have a third grade class out there where they're getting participation medals for this ridiculous, ridiculous thing that has that's so not hockey? It's the opposite of hockey.
There must be a reason. I mean, they must have known all those other options were available. All that talent was in their city. Somehow they decided this is what they wanted.
Do you think, like, not to get political, but like our current leader, mm-hmm. they're trolling us? You think they're trolling? I don't think so either. I think they're serious about it.
Oh, they're dead serious about it. Maybe look at it this way. You go to Vegas for a spectacle, right? Wouldn't you kind of be bummed if there wasn't a spectacle?
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you stayed at the Excalibur?
Great point.
Because that's the kind of entertainment that they have there.
All right.
And you go, you know what? Not going there because entertainment for kids. Going someplace else.
Hard pass.
Okay.
Hard pass. I'm with Bean.
Our actual friend Taylor Williamson. Very funny man on the show later on today. Allie will review her first ever James Bond movie. She finally broke down and saw one over the weekend.
I did.
Can't wait for that. And Beer Mug's going to jail. All of that on the way here. First, though, it's time for some great news.
Again.
Great news. There it is.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news. I was walking around singing that song yesterday. That is so catchy. Omar's Little Great News theme song.
I hope you were singing it out loud.
I was. I was, in fact. You guys, I know you saw this story. A lot of times, the point of this feature is we bring you stories of unheralded heroes, people you may not have heard about it, that it just turned out to be great humans and the nice things for other people. And a lot of times, they're kind of obscure. They don't get the kind of press. I suspect you guys and many of our listeners have already seen my great news, which is this guy who's being called the French Spider-Man who climbed up a building over the weekend.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you first see this video, you are convinced that it's not real because this guy has superhuman strength, it seems like. Look, I can't do one pull-up, okay? This guy from the street starts climbing balconies and he goes up five floors to rescue a kid that's dangling from the fifth floor balcony.
There's a little kid hanging there the whole time and you see this guy climbing balcony after balcony. And I just kept thinking, this dude is really making a valiant effort, but what are the chances he's going to save the kid? He does.
Yeah. What are the chances he's going to be able to get there in time?
Right.
Exactly. Even though it took him less than 30 seconds to climb the side of that building. I mean, how long would it take you to climb the side of that building, Kevin?
Oh, I mean, I would get into the first balcony and then I would rest and take a nap.
Well,
maybe lunch.
He has become a national hero in France, and one of the things that makes this story so interesting is his name is Mamadou Gassama. He is 22 years old. He is a migrant from the African country of Mali. Now, he took a very long journey to make it to France in the first place. He journeyed through Burkina Faso, then Niger, and then Libya, and then he crossed the Mediterranean Sea into Italy, and then finally arrived in France in September. He is an undocumented immigrant. He came to France.
Kick him out! Am I right?
He came to France because that's where his brother was living, and he went, as many do, to other countries for a better life. There wasn't much going on for him back in Mali. So as a result of this heroic effort, he was just walking down the street, by the way, like everybody else, and heard the commotion, heard the crowd, and went over to see what was going on, saw the baby, and instantly, without even thinking about it, just sprung right into action. The mayor of Paris came out and said, we've got to figure out a way to keep this guy in our country. He's one of our best and one of our brightest. And then he met the next day with the president of France, who said, we're going to give you paperwork to stay here legally and put you on the path for citizenship, and we're going to offer you a job with the firefighters.
Wow.
And he's like, I don't want to be a firefighter. I don't know if he said that or not. But so they're going to let him stay in France. It's very rare that they make an exception like this for somebody who does something in support of the country. But what a wonderful story for everybody involved. And in case you're wondering, by the way, the mom was out of town and the dad went out and left his 4-year-old son in the apartment by himself.
Oh,
and the dad is probably going to be charged for child neglect.
Can we keep eyes on that kid? Because that is some upper core strength, right?
No kidding.
Right? That kid is going to be quite the athlete.
I could not figure out how that kid was able to hang there so long.
That's what I'm saying.
Even before the video starts, this kid is already hanging out the side of a building. I couldn't hang onto that balcony for that long.
I don't think if I'm that size, I can even get out to the outside of that particular wall.
Right.
Yeah. We got some other questions to be answered here.
Right.
But anyway, I love this guy, and I love what he did, and it's really amazing. And check out French Spider-Man if you get the opportunity to. And that's my great news.
All right, mine is next. These are people that are thinking back on unselfish people who did stuff for them during college that really made an amazing difference in their life. There was a woman that says, when I was a poor freshman flying some budget airline back to college after a Christmas break, the airline canceled my flight into Spokane and left me stranded overnight in Seattle. As I stood at the customer service counter fighting back tears because I didn't have money for a hotel or cab and was thousands of miles from home, a woman noticed me and said she'd like me to come home with her family overnight and she'd get me back to the airport in the morning.
No,
nope.
Oh, sorry.
She had her own two kids to worry about, having just gotten off the same long flight as me, but she refused to leave me alone to spend the night in the airport. She took me to her home and had her kids double up in one bedroom so she could put me in her daughter's room.
Aww.
Now, do you think the kids were happy about that? I'm guessing not.
No. Not great news
for
them.
We don't know her. Now that I have kids of my own and a crazy busy life, I appreciate even more the fact that a stranger was willing to inconvenience herself to not only take me in, but to get up early the next morning and drive me all the way back to the airport and make sure I made it back to college on time. I was the very first person in my family to go away to college, and I was very much considering dropping out. So this woman made more of a difference in my life than she could have ever imagined.
Aww.
I have invited so many college girls
from the airport to come back to my house.
Very different. It never ends up. I've never called
very
a great
different.
News guy.
And that's my great news.
Oh, dear. My story is about a little girl named Mary Alice. She's 8 years old. She has spent a lot of time in the hospital. She was born with something called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a rare, incurable genetic condition. Multiple disorders has to do with her connective tissue. She is in and out of the hospital all the time.
You said there's no cure for that?
No cure. Mm. It's taken her away from all the sports she loves. Her mom said she was a heck of a gymnast, loved basketball, was a cheerleader, can't do any of that anymore. And the family relocated from Ohio to Massachusetts to be closer to a specialist at Boston's Children's Hospital. And the mom decided one day to go onto a Facebook page just to kind of find out, you know, what's the best route to go to the hospital. Does anyone know anywhere along the route if they were going to get food, anything like that? It was a Bridgewater board on Facebook, just looking for information. And she got far more than helpful tips. A man named Steve Hippolito, the owner of Silver City Limousine, responded to the post and said, I would love to drive you and your family to the hospital free of charge. So he pulls up in this huge stretch limousine. He has stocked it with
strippers?
Nope.
Booze?
Nope. Sparkling grape juice.
Right,
everything for this little 8-year-old to feel like she is just a star for the day and go in this limo. And if you've ever had to deal with even yourself, let alone a child having to go to treatment, the days before going,
the dread,
that's on their mind, the dread, the drive there, the dread, the drive home, the dread, knowing you're going to have to do this again. It's unreal. This guy has continued doing it. He looks forward to his rides with this little 8-year-old and her family getting all caught up. So this man is doing unbelievable stuff. Just on a message board was like, let me take care of it. Makes
you,
this little
think
girl
once.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Makes this little girl feel like, oh, it's not that bad. I get to go in this fun limo and look, I'm kind of a star for the day. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So all I know is if I live in Bridgewater, I'm getting a limo from this guy for prom.
Okay. For prom?
Something. I don't know.
You're going back in time?
I am going back in time. It's just lovely. And that's my great news.
You'll listen to K-Rock all week at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Blink-182 at the Pearl at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas. June 8th. You get a one-night stay, and you get transportation on the bus.
Nice.
It'll be fun, you guys.
It's going to be a good time.
Love that, Blake. Hey, Tuesday morning, but it feels like a Monday. So we're one day closer already to the next weekend. It's a pretty good deal. I'm telling you, what I'm saying is 4-day weeks are good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is I want to give something away.
Okay.
Trevor Noah is going to be at the Orpheum Theater on July 7th. He's very funny. He's very smart. It's concerning.
And he installs a hell of a cable.
He was not my cable guy. Oh, however, my cable guy looked just like him. And that was also concerning. But if you would like to go and see Trevor Noah perform his stand-up comedy at the Orpheum Theater on July 7th, how about a pair of tickets right now to Caller 10, 1-800-520-1067. You are going to see him on July 7th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Nope. I hate it. Why would you do that?
They're very excited about Mr. Noah coming to town, apparently.
Those are those two lynxes that are yelling at each other. Right. It's still hard to imagine that noise is coming out of an animal.
Yeah.
Two animals.
It's real.
It's haunting is what it is.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. How about a palate cleanser for
you? Okay, yes.
So I don't know if you have been following along, but there is a fan Twitter account of Weezer that's at Weezer Africa. They have been hounding Weezer to cover Africa by Toto, the 1982 song, for months, like relentless.
How do people care that much for months?
It turns out the account is run by a 14-year-old who said that they learned about the song from watching Netflix's Stranger Things.
Okay.
So then they just got it in their head. I need Weezer to do a cover of this. Well, Weezer, being Weezer, decided, all right, I'm going to post a cover of Toto.
Okay.
And it's going to be Rosanna. Not it.
What?
But instead of doing Africa, they did Rosanna. And this,
which is hilarious,
poor
by the way,
kid was like, come on. So
they went to all the trouble to learn a Toto song and perform it, but not the one she's been begging them to do for months.
Which is the ultimate troll, and I appreciate it so very much. But then they decided, you know what, I'm going to throw this 14-year-old kid a bone. And they decided to cover Africa.
Okay.
Yeah! Yes, the kids love it. Here is Weezer covering Toto's 1982 song, Africa.
Well, it's very faithful to the original.
Amen.
Is that the original? Where's the Weezer song?
That was Weezer. Yeah, they didn't really part from the script, except for some power chords in the chorus. Really good, Weezer. Right?
I love them so much.
That's pretty cool that they responded to that Twitter account.
And not only responded, trolled first.
Sure.
And then we're like, all right, here you go, kid. I just think that's terrific. I was going to say wonderful, but then I realized I sounded just like. Snoop Dogg, Guinness World Record holder.
Most weed? Pot smoked in a weekend?
You would think. Nope. He concocted the largest glass of gin and juice. This all happened up at the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival on Saturday.
Was that a record that already existed?
I don't think so.
I doubt
Here's
it.
The thing, though. With help from rapper Warren G and Michael Voltaggio, the Top Chef winner, he set the record for the biggest ever version of the cocktail during his set. It was a 5-foot-tall product containing 180 bottles of Hendrix gin plus juice donated by Whole Foods.
I hope they pass that around to the crowd or something.
Oh, no. Snoop drank it all.
Yeah, just put a big old straw in there. Snoop's still up in Napa.
Good sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Oh, he still got it.
Wow. That's that was Alex Trebek being from Jeopardy.
See how they come at black people?
So he has a Guinness World Record.
Okay.
Doesn't Dave from watching TV?
I mean, We tried to set a Guinness World Record twice with Dave, and he smashed the record both times.
Yeah. But
our accounting of it and the paperwork and all the rules and stuff, we didn't exactly follow like we should have.
Right.
He did his part. We didn't do our part.
Not my fault.
It's actually not his fault, no.
Excellent.
But he did twice and smashed it both times and then didn't get the record.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
Some birthdays for you. Mel B, Lauren Cox, Noel Gallagher, Daniel Tosh, Annette Bening, Rupert Everett, and the great Danny Elfman. And that's what's happening.
Allie just said, why is everybody acting like we're about to do something? We're like, because the song's ending? Oh, what a surprise.
Are you new or... Hey, two beautiful people on the Kevin and Bean Show this week. Taylor Williamson next hour. Sarah Shahi tomorrow. How's that for a 1-2 punch of gorgeous, huh? Am I right about that?
You are right.
You're half right.
First, though, got to deal with Muggs. He told us a tall tale on, was it
Not
Thursday morning?
Not a tall tale. It was Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. Friday morning, you came in and lied to our faces.
No.
And,
oh, Allie hasn't heard this yet.
No.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, you're going to enjoy this very much.
Excellent.
It's time for Muggs Fought the Law.
We all know Muggs is so dumb. Muggs fought the law and the law won. Muggs fought the law and the law won.
Come on.
Muggs fought the law and the law won.
Allie, you may be familiar with this. Sometimes people are just late for work and they don't want to admit that they overslept, so they make up an elaborate story about all the things that went wrong when they were trying to get into the office. That's what Muggs was giving us on Thursday.
Okay.
So, Muggs.
Listen. First of all, I made it with just enough time, okay? Number two, it really happened. And I have...
Did it really happen the way you say, though? And by the way...
Yes.
We would just like for Highway Patrol or police or anybody that's listening, if there's anything wrong with Muggs' story, feel free to call us at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll let you rebut.
Look, him. I have nothing but respect for all law enforcement officers, sheriff, CHP...
That's not what you were saying
LAPD,
Friday.
LAPD, the thin blue line starts in my heart, okay?
Even Muggs fought the law and the law.
Even the officer you were calling an asshole on Friday morning?
Except that guy. F that guy.
All right.
I was on the 10 freeway right in front of La Brea, one off-ramp before Fairfax. And all of a sudden, boom, boo, lights go on right behind me. And right when that happened, it startled me, of course. But my natural intuition is to be like, okay, what am I doing wrong?
And swallow the joint.
I don't smoke in the morning, Kevin.
Right, sure.
I don't smoke before I get to work.
Right.
So I look at my speedometer right away. I was like, am I speeding? I was going 73 miles per hour.
In a 65?
In a 65.
That's not speeding.
I was in the number one lane. Okay.
Is that the fast lane?
That's the fast lane.
Okay. All right.
So...
a little slow for the fast lane for my case.
But for Kevin, yeah.
Right.
Kevin does about 92. So... I slowly, cautiously put on my turn signal and start to edge my way over to the number five lane to get to the shoulder. And apparently I wasn't doing it fast enough, so the officer said, gets on his loudspeaker, move over to the side of the freeway now.
Oh.
And I'm like nervous, you know, it's nerve-wracking when you're being pulled over.
Sure.
Right?
So you swallowed the LSD.
I don't do LSD,
okay.
Kevin.
Let me jump in and say that, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, I don't have as much experience being pulled over as Muggs does, but they usually don't talk to you on the highway, right? They usually, the lights are enough, you pull over, that's it. So were you going, like a mile down the road before they
That's
finally...
a good question. How far did you go and could you have pulled off before?
It was from La Brea to Fairfax. So however far that is, I was trying to get over to the shoulder in between those two off ramps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently I wasn't doing it fast enough. So that's why he got on. And by the time I got to the number four lane, there was a lot of traffic lined up because the La Brea off ramp, it's own off ramp. You're in that lane. You get off at La Brea.
Right.
So there's people waiting to get off. So I had to cut over to those people to get to the shoulder.
Right.
And apparently I wasn't doing that fast enough, so he started to push my car over the shoulder.
All right.
I promise you this.
So now he told us this on Friday, that the cop didn't ram his car, but pulled up close enough to sort of push.
Come on.
Which is really hard to imagine because the cop wants him to pull over.
Right.
Why is he pushing him faster, further?
So I finally get over, and I feel kind of my steering wheel jolt from this.
Uh-huh.
He gets out. I go, hello, officer. What was I doing? Turn off your car. Put your hands on your steering wheel.
Sweet.
Like, right out of the gate. Right out of the gate.
Swallowed your mushrooms.
Those I did swallow, yeah. So I said, can you tell? Hold on. License, insurance, and registration. All right. Can I reach into my glove compartment? Because I've been to a lot of traffic school.
Sure.
First thing they tell you to do is put your hands on the wheel. So
right.
You put the officer at ease.
10
so you're
two.
Not
sure.
10 and 2, so you're not trying, like, doesn't look like you're trying to reach for anything. Right?
Sure.
So I was, may I reach to my glove compartment to get my registration and my improvement insurance?
Were you saying salvia was there, so you swallowed that.
Were you saying it in a dickish way like you are
now,
Bugs?
Right. Okay. Is that dickish?
Yes. Oh, is it okay if I reach into my glove compartment?
I was trying to be cautious, so if it came across as dickish, I'm sorry. But he was gung-ho right out of the gate.
And you're standing by, his car touched your car in an effort to get you to pull over. His bumper hit your bumper.
Absolutely. And because
Mugs fought the law, and the law was...
It's not his bumper. They have all CHP and most all CHP have those like pit maneuver bumpers on their front. So there's like extra padding or whatever.
Right.
Officers, please, if you have anything to add to this,
so,
this sounds at all like your experience, let us know. 1-800-520-1067.
So I give him my registration, license, and proof of insurance, and I start to reach for my phone because it's 4:58 at this time, and I have to be in the studio in 2 minutes to connect Bean. Because if not, Bean can't do anything.
So you asked him about the glove box, but then reached in your pocket for
my
phone.
My phone was on my seat.
Okay.
So as I start to reach for my phone to text either Ruben or somebody who's
here. You realize there was a baggie of cocaine and you swallowed it.
I don't do cocaine, Kevin.
Okay.
So I start texting... Did I tell you you can reach for your phone? Put your phone down. But I need a text. I don't care. Put your phone down.
Okay.
20 minutes go by.
Mm.
20
minutes.
Okay. Is this 4 minutes but seemed like 20 because you might be late?
It was 5 o'clock. I think I got into the studio at 5:17. And Omar was here.
Okay.
And Omar had to start the show for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he comes back, gives me the ticket. Have a nice day.
Oh.
Just a dick, okay? And like I said, nothing but respect for all you law enforcement.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This guy was... Something happened to this guy where he said, I am going to take all my frustrations off on me.
Mm-hmm. He got mugged. That's what happened to him.
Right?
He's having a great day until that. Somebody wouldn't pull over.
It wasn't like I was driving erratically. I was going... 8 miles over the speed limit.
Okay, but let me just say this again: 73 miles into 65. That's not really speeding.
They don't even pull you over for that.
I don't think so either. Now it's possible that he was the exception where he was having an awful day, and then he got mugged. Imagine getting mugged at the end of an awful day.
Right.
It's
right.
Possible. They're human beings, so it is possible.
It just to me, he sat. There's nothing I could have done to alleviate his anger towards me from the
get-go. So it wasn't really toward you. It was just anger.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Took it out on you.
And look, I understand those guys go through a lot of – they take a lot of crap from a lot of people. But I've always been under the impression to be respectful and try to help him do his job.
Right.
I'm not at all that citizen dick.
Right.
You know? So
I like you were when you came in Friday?
I was pissed on Friday because I felt like I was taken advantage of, and I'm going to fight it. I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to fight it. But
you should be your own lawyer. That always works.
That'd be sweet.
You do tell a great story.
Mugs fought the law, and the law won.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your holiday weekend. Thank you for being back with us here on K-Rock. Tuesday morning, Kevin and Bean Show, Taylor Williamson next hour, and Allie reviews her first ever James Bond movie. Can't wait for that. We brought you a story last week that I thought would make a good phone topic about somebody who gets a new job. And the story that we brought you was a dream job, something this young woman had wanted her whole life because she loved grizzly bears. And then something goes very, very bad very, very quickly after you start the job. That's the topic that we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. In fact, after we brought this story up the other day, Kevin, a listener named John wrote in and said he'd like to nominate Robert Mueller, who is the special counsel right now in the investigation at the, into the Russia collusion.
Right.
But his first day as the FBI director was on 9/11.
Oh.
How's that for a, I just started a new job and things went south fast.
Wow. Yeah.
So
it doesn't have to be that bad.
It doesn't have to be that bad, right?
Maybe your company went under and you left a good job to go there or whatever.
Mauled by a bear is not looking too bad.
Well, let's talk about being mauled by a bear. This story came out of Billings, Montana. We brought it to you last week. A young woman named Amber Cornack had always been fascinated by grizzly bears and wanted to get her dream job with the Forest Service, and she did, researching grizzly bears. She's working for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as a seasonal field assistant. She's working a stream there in the beautiful mountains of Montana, and she's supposed to be collecting hair from bears. Whatever they rub against trees or whatever, you're supposed to collect the hair. They're doing DNA research on bears. Well, you can see where this story goes because human plus bear usually equals bear. And in this case, she was attacked by a bear that left her with massive injuries, including a seriously fractured skull. She's 28 years old. She did manage to reach for her canister of bear spray, and that ended the attack. The bear did leave. She also sprayed herself in the face in the process, by the way.
Oh, man.
Now, again, she's at this job like this is her second week. Oh, she's at this job, and she's just been torn up by this bear, and now she sprayed herself in the face with bear spray. I lay down and die at this point. She
you just
not.
Give up? You just,
I just give up.
Look,
yeah.
Okay, you win. You win. I lose.
Take me, bear. She instead walked 2 miles back to her work vehicle and then drove to find help. She drove, found somebody who called 911. They were able to take her to the hospital and start doing all kinds of surgery to repair her brain and her head and everything else. This is an example of you don't think when you say yes to that job that this is where you're going to be just a few days later.
That went south so fast!
So that's what we want. We're looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, have you ever seriously screwed up a job in the first day or two or three? And I'm just assuming that your story is going to involve you somehow dropping the ball.
Yeah, but this is but I think we're looking for jobs that went south or things outside of your control. Of course, I did things that were dumb.
But I think it can be you screwing up bad too and getting in a lot of trouble. That's not what anyone wants.
We were racing around dirt right near an apartment complex that we were supposed to be working on. Mm-hmm. Very first day, so I got fired from that.
Okay,
very first day. Probably within an hour.
Oh.
I worked there an hour.
That's hilarious.
It was a pretty sweet hour, though. I got to be honest. Okay. It was pretty fun.
Didn't you also lock yourself out of the studio and something happened on air and you couldn't get into the studio to stop it?
That's when I was first starting at the school radio station, and it was Sunday morning at 6 a.m.
Oof.
And it was my first shift, and I was very nervous. So I put on a record. Those are bigger discs, and they used to have a needle thing that you put on it.
What's a disc?
It's like a round. Never mind. So I play it, and I go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, I got started. I'm good.
Yeah.
Come back. Studio's locked.
Uh-oh.
So I have to call the head of the department of broadcasting at 6:04 a.m.
on a Sunday.
On a Sunday. And have him come unlock the studio for me. Yeah, so that happened.
Getting attacked by a grizzly bear sounds pretty good about that, doesn't it?
Not too bad.
Sounds pretty good. All right, so you start a new job and the company immediately went under, or something terrible happened. That's what we're looking for. I don't think we're going to have too many people who have the Robert Mueller experience or too many people who have this young woman in Montana experience.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. But if your job went south fast, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll take your calls and your texts. Same number next on K-Rock.
All right. Just ahead of Jimmy Eat World, let's take one call. Let's make it Kevin from Dallas. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Thank you so much for streaming the show out there in Texas. Sorry about your rockets out there, though.
Oh, no worries. It's all good. Right. It's just hot.
It is hot.
Sorry about the heat out there.
It is 100 degrees in Dallas right now. We are talking about workplace disasters. You get a new job and something goes bad in the first hour, the first day, the first week. You never could have foreseen it. What happened to you, Kevin?
Well, I started working for a cable company, and I got a job. It was pretty much the second week, so I got a job in running cable through the attic.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while, so I started going through the attic, started running cables down. But as soon as I got to the attic, took a couple steps into it, and my foot went straight through the roof.
All right.
Oh, no.
Did you get hurt, or was the problem just that you did a bunch of damage to the house?
No, I did scrape my foot a little bit. Just off the siding, because they had some wood planks running across it,
right.
But they weren't complete. So there were some edges on that. So when my foot went through, it got scraped on one of them. It wasn't that bad. But I was with a buddy of mine, because those jobs take usually a whole day to get finished through.
Yeah.
And we decided, well, why don't we just go to Home Depot, buy some drywall, patch it up, and paint it over. Nothing's going to happen. They won't notice it. Yeah, he ended up noticing.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I appreciate you calling. And I have to give Allie a lot of credit for no snickering while you're talking about laying cable. I mean, that was really impressive.
Thank you, Allie.
You're growing up.
I am.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. First week disasters at a new job. We want to hear from you on K-Rock.
You really wanted a job. You really needed the job. You got the job. Things went south really fast.
I can't believe we haven't had anyone call whose company went out of business within the first few days of them starting in a new job. I was convinced that has happened to a bunch of people. A lot of people, Kevin, they're responsible for what went wrong. Like Patrick texting in from the 626 from La Puente. I started as an X-ray extern, it says, student. I broke the X-ray tube my first week, and it cost the hospital $10,000.
Sweet.
Dear Kevin and me, and this is Mike, 626 also. I worked for a grocery store. My first month there, I flooded the warehouse by breaking a fire department sprinkler with a forklift. The water went over an entire pallet of flour and sugar. I was fired immediately.
Sweet.
So we're taking your calls.
Maybe this should be called You Were Fired Immediately.
I know, right? Could be your fault. Could be completely out of your control. We want to hear what went wrong on your brand new job at 1-800-520-1067. Where are we going first?
We are going to Lorena. Hi there.
Hi.
So what job did you get, and then what happened?
So this was my first day working at a juice bar at a gym in North Hollywood. And this was a gym that had a lot of celebrities that would come in, and I was still learning the recipes. And there was one particular soap opera star that would come in a lot, and I kind of messed up his protein shake, and I added one too many scoops of protein, and because I couldn't remember, I was so nervous.
Right.
And he ended up having to frequent the bathroom a lot.
How did you find this out?
Because he went to the manager.
Oh.
Yes. So he was quite empty.
You gave him the poops.
He was quite empty. What she said.
I would say thank you for that.
Right?
I mean, you're helping him out, kickstarting his metabolism.
Exactly. I think, you know, back then, you know, cleanse, people didn't know about a cleanse.
You should have gotten a bonus.
She was ahead
exactly.
of her time.
Thank you, Lorena. Well done. Thank you. Let's go to Alex, line two, please. He's calling us from Long Beach here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Alex. Hello.
Kevin and Bean, how we doing?
We are good. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you.
What job did you get and what happened?
So this is back in the late 1980s. I had just graduated from high school. And was honored to get an internship in the office of, at that time, United States Senator Alan Cranston, who was one of our two senators from California.
Wow.
It was hired to drive him around L.A. when he was in town. And on the first day, driving down the 10 freeway, got into a fender bender with just myself and the U.S. senator in the car.
Oh, no.
But the best part was that I then, having duly... I got in trouble, had to report to my boss at the time, who was the field deputy for Alan Cranston, a young Harvard grad by the name of Tom Morello.
Really?
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow,
yes,
your story has everything.
Really?
Your story has an amazing story that we asked for, plus two great celebrity sightings.
That's right. Who, by the way, was totally cool and said, don't worry about it, and was able to keep the job.
How about that? You're lucky Tom Morello was there.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you very much for the call. That's an awesome story. Let's go to another Alex. Let's try line six, Burbank, please.
All right. Hey, Alex.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What was the job, and how did it go south?
Oh, Jesus. I was a medical assistant. It was my third week on the job, and we had this patient come in who thought they were going to have surgery just right then and there on their back. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient's wife had a massive fit, went to the bathroom, and dookied in her hand and rubbed it everywhere, walls, mirrors, floor, everything.
So
I had to clean it up because I was a newbie. And I got a bacterial infection from it.
So wait, she did that just because her husband didn't get operated on immediately upon coming to the hospital?
No, it wasn't even a hospital. It was a clinic. It wasn't like an emergency.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was an orthopedic. Like, you got to go through a process. It's not instant. You're not dying from it.
Did you quit?
I did not.
Oh, man.
Are you still there?
No, I'm not still there. This was 12 years ago.
Okay, good.
My boss was the best person ever.
What does it take to get Alex to quit,
right? Man, she is committed.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's go to line eight. This is Whittier and Sergio. I love your story, Sergio. I can't wait for you to share it with our audience.
Hey, Sergio.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Morning, Volatile, guys.
To you as well.
So, I was in construction for 15 years. I was sent over to the Simi Valley Ronald Reagan Library when they started building it. So I was there for a few months, and they had just brought in the painters to paint the hangar that houses the Air Force One, Ronald Reagan's Air Force One. But at the same time, there were some welders that were finishing up the stairs that led up to Ronald Reagan's Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the painters decided, hey, let's put all our flammable paint right under the welders.
Oh, no.
So sad to say, well, it caught up real quick on fire. It sparked up a big old puff cloud. The whole hangar was full of soot at the top. Luckily, Air Force One was covered, wrapped, did not get damaged, and they got the fire out in time. But needless to say, that was the last time we saw the painters.
So you almost set Ronald Reagan's Air Force One on fire.
Not me. The painters.
Sure, the painters. Right, the painters,
yeah.
Like friends.
No. Yeah, it was for a friend. Right, exactly. That could have been so much worse.
Or better, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, it could have been really worse. But, man, I don't know what was going on with those guys.
Not smart things. Thank you for the call. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Jimmy Carter fans, baby. All right, let's talk to line five. His business got shut down by the police on his first day.
Sweet.
This might be the one we've been looking for.
Hey, Robert.
Hey. Hello.
What kind of job was it, Robert?
It was a call center at a car dealership.
Okay. So are these the people who call and say, hey, we want to remind you about your warranty, or hey, you got to come in for service, that sort of thing?
No. So what happened was a buddy of mine gave me a call. We literally just graduated high school, my very first job. And he's like, hey, I work at a call center. They're hiring. I'm like, cool, I need a job. So I started there. It was my very first job, my first day. And we were calling people straight out of phone books.
Okay.
Saying, hey, you won a discounted car, blah, blah, blah. Come on down and, get your winnings. Or
so it was a scam?
It was a scam.
Okay.
And I had no idea. I mean, I was, like I said, fresh out of high school. No idea how anything works around here and all that. And we were, everything was fine dandy. Got yelled at a bunch of times by people, why do you have to take me off your list, this and that. We all go to lunch. We come back, and the bosses are like, all right, we're done for the day. Have a good one. Don't come back. I'm like, we're all kind of looking at each other like, what's going on? I found out a week later that it was illegal cold calling. And they got shut down somewhere or another. This is back in 2004, so I don't remember the whole gist of it. But, it was pretty...
So the place that you worked at the very first day got shut down by the sheriff.
I wasn't even there a full day.
This was not the call we were waiting for.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51. Comedian Taylor Williamson joins us in about a half hour. Very fun with him. Very fun with him. Why would I say those words? It's always fun when he's here.
Yes.
I think what I meant to say.
Very fun with him.
I think that is accurate. Sure. Yes. First, though, she's pale, she's rested, and she's ready. Here's Ally McKay with what's happening.
I mean, it's true.
He's not wrong.
No. You will.
Why say it?
You will never really say she's tan, rested, and ready. So exactly. I understand what you did right there.
There you go.
Hey, you guys. Have you heard about K-Rock's 90s by nature at Santa Anita
Yay!
Park? See, it sounds like naughty by nature, but
right.
It's 90s by nature. It's happening
already with the tie-ins.
I know. It's happening on June the 9th. This is going to be hosted by Beer Mug. Performances by the Red Knot Chili Peppers, Burritos the Band, that's a Sublime cover band, and New Doubt. That's a No Doubt cover band.
Love it.
There's going to be live horse races, huge infield screen to watch all the horses go for the Triple Crown. You can play the pony, sample SoCal's best beers, and get your 90s fix with Beer Mug and the K-Rock promo crew. For more info and tickets, go to santaanita.com/events. But right now, I want to give a lucky winner a 4-pack of VIP tickets. You're going to get a reserved VIP table, a Santa Anita gift, and 4 drink tickets. And because of that, the winner and the guests must be 21 plus. So let's take caller 21 at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get that 4-pack of VIP tickets to K-Rock's 90s by Nature at Santa Anita Park on June the 9th.
Unreal.
No, totally real. Beer Mug, it's happening. Just call now.
What?
No, and you're hosting, Mugs, as well.
You're hosting it. June 9th. Put that on your calendar. If you guys missed seeing Florence and the Machine at Walt Disney Concert Hall and you were super stoked to see her at FYF Fest and then that was canceled and you were thinking, no, what about my Florence and the Machine dreams? Don't you worry. She has booked a show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes.
It is happening, oh right. Yes, oh yes. On Tuesday, September 25th, she will be at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster. However, there's an artist pre-sale at noon today, then a Live Nation pre-sale on Thursday. So just go get more information, see which pre-sale you could possibly get in on. Otherwise, tickets go on sale this Friday, June the 1st at 10 a.m. Florence and the Machine.
I'm going to tell you guys something that's going to make you very happy about Florence.
Yeah.
BBC had their biggest weekend this past weekend where they do big multi-stage shows in a whole bunch of different cities around the UK.
Right.
They were streaming it. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift was on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Florence and the Machine headlined that bill.
Mm. I like
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
How interesting is that Taylor was not the headliner in Britain? It was Florence and the Machine. That's how popular they are there. And man, are they great.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, the UK is better
everywhere.
Than
I got to look. I love me Tay Tay, as you know.
Stop calling her Tay Tay.
But I have no problem with Florence being at the top
it.
Of that bill. She's amazing.
They also had UB40.
They did.
It was so fun to watch some of those bands.
Yeah.
Real good time.
Good lineup.
Real good time. Kevin, if you weren't busy being all social, you could have sat on your couch and watched that.
I was outside doing things.
What?
With people.
That is weird.
Yeah, it was fun.
On purpose?
Yes.
Huh.
Enjoy it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just a reminder, in case you wanted to get some coffee this afternoon. Today is the day that Starbucks will be closing for a few hours. Some places 1 p.m., some places 2 p.m., but they're going to be closed down for a few hours for their anti-bias training. They're closing.
Here we go.
Oh.
It's on. Race war.
I think they're trying to avoid.
Race war's on, everybody.
Okay.
It's going down. It's going down.
I think they're trying
race
to.
War. Come on. Race war.
Trying to avoid it.
Yeah. They're closing down about 8,000 stores. They're supposed to lose about $12 million. In coffee sales.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brewst.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. The anti-bias training is reportedly designed to get people to open up about implicit biases and stereotypes in encountering people of color, gender, or other identities.
It sounds racist.
Well, I think they're trying to avoid any issues in the future.
Damn good coffee.
Okay. Did you guys see over the weekend people freaking out about Eminem and Nicki Minaj dating?
No.
I did.
Yeah. Here's what happened. Basically, there's a guest appearance with Nicki Minaj on Eminem's song Big Bank. And so she posted herself lip syncing to it. And the lyrics are, told them I met Slim Shady, bag the M. Once he go black, he'll be back again. So obviously they've done it, right?
Of course. So, she wouldn't say that in a song if not.
Yeah. Oh, that's not his song then, right? That's not Eminem's song, Big Bank, right?
Well, we thought you knew.
It just occurred to me.
We were just trying to follow the story.
All right, here's the thing. So somebody wrote on her Instagram, are you dating Eminem? She responded, yes.
Okay.
So people start freaking out.
Right.
And then Eminem decides that he's going to respond, girl, you know it's true. And then Nicki Minaj comes back with, babe, I thought we were going to keep it on the low until the wedding. Yikes, I'll talk to you when I get home. Come on now. Ridiculous.
This is just open trolling.
Yeah, open trolling, yeah. And people were eating it up. But then Sunday, Eminem said during his show, Boston, how many of you want to see me date Nicki Minaj? Well, goddamn it, me too. Nicki, if you get this message, just text me later. We'll talk about it. So who knows? This trolling might open up a whole
how about
new relationship.
That?
No?
Love is blossoming.
Is that what's happening?
No.
I don't know about that. And also, if you saw this story over the weekend, blogs and magazines ran with the fact that Tommy Lee made his fourth trip down the altar to Brittany Ferlan. She is most known as a Vine star. Reports were that they tied the knot at the Beverly Hills Hotel and they wore bathrobes and slippers to mark the occasion. However, they wrote about this because she tweeted a picture of them smooching and the words best day ever. And then they forgot or just decided not to read the next part that said to take a photo in front of someone's leftover wedding altar. So they basically were posing at on the hotel grounds in front of someone else's wedding altar that was still left there.
That's funny.
But nobody felt the need to read the rest of her post, which is
oh my gosh,
so funny.
Well, we're busy these days. We can't read an entire
don't make this
Instagram
work.
Post.
Right.
Or you see a picture of two people smooching under a wedding altar in bathrobes and slippers. You just assume they got married, right?
When your life looks at you funny, take a fast lane.
A good,
thank
good
you,
point. Very good point.
You know, if you mess with the bull,
right?
Go for the gold.
I don't think that's how it goes.
Okay.
All right.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
I think it's lem. What?
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
It's about horns, though, right?
Way there.
It's like life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
sweet, we found one.
Whew, goodness. And this story cracks me up. Did you know that Greta Van Fleet is actually named after a real person?
Yeah, it's like a Leonard Skinner situation.
Yeah, well, sure, if I knew what that was.
Leonard Skinner was named after a real person named Leonard Skinner.
Got it. Well, it's apparently named after an 87-year-old woman named Gretna Van Fleet. Here's the thing. She is from their hometown in Michigan, and one of the group's early drummers remembered his grandfather telling him he had to go cut wood for Gretna Van Fleet. And he thought, well, that sounds like a good name, but they dropped, no, literally
not
cut
code.
Wood.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They dropped the N in Gretna and just went with it.
Hmm.
Well, turns out, sweet little 87-year-old Gretna Van Fleet went to see their show on Wednesday. It was the second of their three sold-out shows at the Fillmore in Detroit. And she used to play piano and saxophone in a dance band back in the 1950s. I love
wow.
her so much.
Would That's you look- bananas.
It is bananas, Tommy. Thank you. Would you like to hear her review of the show?
Yes.
All right. Quote, it's not really my kind of music, but people enjoyed it, and the boys did a good job of presenting it. Oh, 87-year-old Gretna Van
Fleet. Big ones, right?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Maybe.
Right?
Anything
else?
That's
a sweet honor, by the way.
I think so, too. It is lovely.
It's fun that she lived long enough to see that.
It is fun.
No, that's to live long enough to see a band get named after her and be successful. And, you know, like she got a little mini piece of celebrity there.
Right?
Now you hope she dies immediately?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Okay.
I feel like that's what you're saying.
That's what you said before. That's
like,
all.
Time to go, right? Birthdays for you. Mel B, Laverne Cox, Noel Gallagher, Daniel Tosh, Annette Bening, Rupert Everett, and Danny Elfman. And that's what's happening.
Allie McKay.
Bean Baxter.
Your whole life, you've been hearing about the franchise of movies starring James Bond.
Yeah.
And have resisted every effort to ever see one of them.
Not consciously. I'm not, like, not watching them.
You are not watching them.
Like, literally, I'm not watching them. But I'm not, like, making an effort not to.
But, I mean, a lot of times that's the big movie that comes out for the weekend.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest movie that comes out for the weekend. So you are consciously saying, I don't want to go to that.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
And I'd also like to say, anyone who has a television, who has flipped the dial, has seen a Bond marathon over a weekend where it's nothing but James Bond movies. You've never just stopped on one and said, oh, this is a James Bond movie. I should check out a few minutes of this.
No. No, I have not.
All right. So you decided last week that you were going to, now that you've seen The Godfather, you took that one off your list. You said, all right, now it's time to find out what all this nonsense is about the James Bond franchise.
Baby steps.
Okay. Baby steps. Yeah. So you put out a plea on social media asking what?
Well, I tweeted and put on Instagram, listen, the time has come. Brace yourselves. I am going to watch my first ever Bond movie, but I need you guys to let me know which one and why.
Okay.
Which one first? That's a very difficult question.
Yeah, apparently so, because I got hundreds of different answers.
Sure.
People were saying immediately, it has to be a Sean Connery movie. It has to be. That has to be your first one.
Okay.
Other people say, okay, start at the beginning with Dr. No and then work your way up. Go in order.
Okay.
Then other people saying, no, you don't have to go in order. And why don't you start with who you think your favorite Bond is going to be. And I'm like, well, I don't know who my favorite Bond is going to be. So people saying, giving the case for Bond, giving the case for Roger Moore, giving the case for Daniel Craig. And then someone said something that I thought, okay, you know what? This makes the most sense to me. Because when I watched The Godfather, one of the things I said was, I think nostalgia plays a big part in it, that people who saw it originally just thought it was one of the best movies in the world. But when you watch it back in 2018, you feel how dated
it is. Incorrect, but go ahead.
All right. Well, that was what I said. So this person said, okay, since that was your feeling with
The Godfather,
why don't you watch a newer James Bond movie, a Daniel Craig movie, ease your way into it with, say, a Casino Royale, and then make your way back.
All right.
So I thought, That's pretty good advice. That actually makes a lot of sense. So I started looking up the movies, and Goldfinger, by the way, is on Amazon Prime until June 1st. You have until June 1st to watch Goldfinger.
Okay.
However,
that's Friday.
Casino Goddamn Royale. $15.99 on iTunes. On Amazon Prime, everywhere.
There's no rent on iTunes?
No.
What?
No.
What?
$15.99. So I buckled up and I said to myself, this better be good. Because this is more than I would pay to see it in the theater.
Of course. Yes.
This is insanity.
So you, before you hit play, you already hated this
movie.
Right?
I was so mad. Okay. I was so mad.
So excellent.
However, I believe we have a little bit of the trailer.
The man was Le Chiffre. Private banker to the world's terrorists, which would explain how he could set up a high-stakes poker game at Casino Royale in Montenegro.
The Treasury has agreed to stake you in the game, but if you lose, our government will have directly financed terrorism. I will be keeping my eye on our government's money and off your perfectly formed house.
You noticed. I hope our little game isn't causing you to perspire.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did.
Right?
By the way, I don't know what you're going to say here, Allie, but Le Chiffre is played by Mads Mikkelsen in that film. He alone is worth the price of admission.
Thank you. I will tell you this. The movie starts, and all I'm thinking, if you've seen the movie, I do not want to die in a sink. That's how the movie starts. A guy is being drowned in a sink. I don't want it. I don't need it.
Okay.
And then,
it's funny that that's the first thing you notice is how you don't want to die.
I don't want to die in
that's
a sink.
Everything. Okay.
Well, you know, because murder can
be. Murder. And then it goes into the theme and Chris Cornell is singing. And I'm like, well, my God.
That's an amazing theme.
This is a lot already. And then Hannibal pops up. Yeah. And I'm like, I am in, because that is Hannibal, and I love him so much.
Right.
He's amazing, too, in this movie.
Here's the thing. I don't like heights at all, and a good 10 minutes is straight up parkour on scaffolding, and my beehole is puckered, and I'm thinking, oh, I need to poop. I need to poop so bad.
What?
It's making me so nervous. The
There's
beginning
a lot of running
of
on rooftops. A
lot of running on roofs, and they're going through windows, then they're on scaffolding, and then it's...
Those are amazing, amazing scenes.
Amazing, amazing scenes. I had to poop. But I kept going, you guys.
So you stayed on the couch and pooped and kept going?
That is disgusting.
I didn't do it.
I will say this about the movie. He's a babe. That Daniel Craig, I don't think enough people are saying that.
He's attractive?
Yeah.
Oh.
When he comes out of the water in his little short shorts and he's like, hey, ladies. Yeah, I was in.
Oh, he was a good choice for Bond.
Absolutely. Loved all of the scenes in Venice, Lake Como. I love Italy. It was beautiful.
Right. But what about the movie? What about the...
Those card scenes? Good Lord. Were some of the most boring things I've ever watched in my... Why do I want... I don't play cards. Why do I want to watch other people play cards? The longest, most drawn out scenes that, honestly, when he got poisoned, I cheered. Because something was finally going to happen.
Come on. That's not that big of a part of that movie.
Oh.
What about all the stunts? What about all the car stunts and everything else?
Not a lot of car stunts in this one. And I will say this. Not a lot of boning. I thought I was going to get straight up Daniel Craig boning chicks left and right. No, not a lot of boning. Boring card, not a lot of boning.
He didn't bone Eva Green in that movie?
At the end, they're like in bed and, right. And then she turns on him and you're like, oh, didn't see that coming. When she drowned, awesome. That whole thing was awesome. When the building came down, incredible.
It sounds like you liked more of it than you didn't like.
100%.
Okay.
This was not a perfectly fine situation.
All right.
Oh, good.
I am giving this movie a B plus.
A B plus.
If there were no card scenes, A minus.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really
Allie
good.
You liked a James Bond movie.
I did, and I will say this. I'm going to watch Goldfinger because my friend said the nostalgia of it, the campiness, the utter ridiculousness of that movie is going to sell me on the whole franchise.
I don't think those 60s Bond movies are for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't, for the reasons that you're describing. If I were you, I'd watch Quantum of Solace next with Daniel Craig.
Same.
That's what I would do.
I want to watch the one with Adele, the Scotland one. Which one is that?
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Skyfall.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's there's four Daniel Craig movies.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should watch them all. I mean, if you're in on him as Bond, he's your Bond, man.
Do they have more boning in the next ones?
I mean, it's not a boning movie.
But I thought that's the whole thing about James Bond. He's always slick. He's always right. Just boning. That's Sean Connery.
And there's always someone hot.
Uh-huh.
And he always has sex with them. But that's not what the movie's about. He's an assassin.
But in between killing, boning.
Okay.
Right?
So not enough boning.
A little more boning.
Okay. Taylor Williamson.
That's my name.
Yeah!
Right?
Yeah.
Who's with me? Doesn't seem like the kind of guy that has watched James Bond movies. Yes or no?
I've seen several.
Have you?
Oh, have you?
Oh.
All right.
I haven't watched many of the old ones that you watched when you were younger. You
I didn't really watch old ones either, but I've watched the new ones.
I was talking to... someone else that's not here.
Okay.
But the newer ones are fun, you know? But then I go back to watch the old ones. They're too slow and weird for me.
Yeah. Hmm.
I agree. I think they have not aged well because we are now used to a faster pace of movie, a little more action. And better special effects. Yeah, better special effects. I mean, they're fine. They're time capsules for their period. They're good movies for the 1960s, 70s, 1980s, and they're lots of good. I mean, I think many of those men have been good James Bonds, but I think Daniel Craig is the best.
Yeah,
plus he's the dreamiest. Let's be honest.
What about Pierce Brosnan?
He's pretty dreamy.
He's pretty dreamy as well.
I like the James Bond movie he did where like the people got divorced and then the husband dressed up like a woman so he could see his children.
Oh, and then Robin Williams was all, hello!
Right?
Yeah. too.
That was the best Bond movie.
Remember that action movie he did, like, in the restaurant where he had to, like, save the person's life who was choking? And then the Heimlich maneuver? Remember that?
No.
Spoiler alert.
Allie? Dean?
I just watched my first one. Okay. I can't be bothered.
Taylor Williamson, by the way, is playing in Huntington Beach this Friday night at the Rec Room Comedy Club. I notice in all your social media promotion of your appearances, you always push hard the free meet and greet, Taylor. Is there any other kind of
meet
for a comedian? I mean, are there any comedians who charge for a meet and greet after?
Well, actually, that's like a business now.
Is it?
I met this guy. This guy opened for me in Texas, and he told me that because it doesn't pay too much to open for me,
right?
And then his day job is flying out with famous comedians, and he runs a whole meet and greet thing where people pay a bunch of money and they go backstage. And
really,
they...
you've been doing it wrong this whole time.
I know.
Wow.
So listen, meet and greets are $400, you get to touch me. It's very exciting.
I'm sorry.
You get to touch me.
Touch you. Yeah.
You know what I don't like a meet and greet is the people I actually have to announce that. To put let my arms go over your arms because their filthy, sweaty armpits go on my shoulders. You experience this
before. Oh, you mean when you take pictures with people?
Yeah.
I don't really insist on arm placement when I take a picture. If somebody wants to take a picture, just take a picture.
And I have to announce, don't touch my face also.
Well, no.
People, I know.
Why?
I
no one touches my face.
People touch my face.
Why?
It's so cute, and you just feel like, oh.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it's like. Cute. Oh. You want to do that to your face.
I don't want them to do that.
Well, they want to. Stop having that face.
stop being so dreamy. I think you're victim shaming there, Allie, is what it sounds like to me. You're saying that Taylor is so pretty that it's his fault that people touch him.
I could be right. I apologize.
Do you want to know how pretty I am? I did a show I was at a comedy club in Atlanta, and I was there Thursday through Saturday, and then on Friday, one of the servers there said to me, "We've had this groupie hipster girl who came every Thursday and made love to the comedian." Is that a word I can say?
Sure.
Every week.
Made love
for whoever
for
it is.
For the last 7 weeks, and you're the first Thursday she didn't show up.
Now, didn't you have some kind of a mishap at a meet and greet with a woman in her breast milk?
It wasn't an official meet and
greet.
It
wasn't an official
one. Unofficial.
She didn't charge $400 for it.
It was right, exactly. Okay. That's the thing, too, is like you can just like find the people outside. You know?
Right, sure.
So I did a show in Los Angeles at a comedy club, and then I have a joke about the person next to me on stage. I was at a restaurant, and a lady next to me was breastfeeding her child. Very funny joke, standing ovation and all that stuff. You know?
Right.
And then why is that laughing? I don't know. That's funny. But so then there's a lady in the crowd who was like talking during the joke and laughing, and I was like, "Hey, I'm trying to do my job here," and she was like, "I'm just doing that because I breastfeed too. That's like me." I'm like, "Okay, thanks, lady. Just don't breastfeed on me. Ha ha ha." You know. And then the crowd standing ovation again. Very
sure.
Funny.
Wow. A lot of standing ovation.
So many. Like I can't keep track.
Right. Sure.
And then after the show, I'm outside the comedy club talking to some British guy. You know. Mm-hmm. And then she comes out. And she starts talking to me, telling me how funny she thinks I am and stuff. And I'm like, "Thanks, lady. You know, this is the story of my life." And then she takes out, as casual as this, she lifts up her shirt and mm-hmm. takes out her breast and squirts breast milk upon my body.
Because you said...
On purpose? What?
Because you said earlier, just don't get it on me?
Yes.
Yes?
And she was not... It wasn't... And she was like... Not like laughing, and it wasn't like.
Was she angry?
No, it wasn't an aggressive breast milk splash, but it was very uncomfortable for me.
I'll
bet. The British guy loved it in a way that made me more uncomfortable. Honestly, like that was a big deal for his.
I don't feel like that's what you want.
No.
And it was. What would you do? Like, honestly, it was one of those things where it's like. It already happened. No one saw it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Except for me and this creepy British guy.
So what would you do? I don't
We're know outside.
What did you do?
I expressed my displeasure with it.
How did you express it, though? Because you're the nicest person in the world.
Well,
that isn't my favorite thing.
Well, it's like there's a door guy next to me who's just talking to people coming to the next show. And we're outside. Like, was he going to, hey, excuse, do I tap him on the shoulder? And I'm like, hey, listen, sir, this lady's.
Why didn't you say something to her?
I said to her, that's really disgusting and inappropriate and disrespectful what you just did. And she was like, oh, grow up. It's, you're a man. Be an adult. And right? And the British guy was like agreeing with her. What is happening?
It is weird. Story, I mean, ever.
If any stranger puts any kind of bodily fluids on you without your permission, that's assault. I'm sorry. It just is.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Should I have, and the worst is like, not the worst, but like the next day, like I look at my phone and I'm like, what is this smudgy? Oh, it's leftover breast milk on my telephone.
All right, we need to take a break after that one, if you don't mind.
And take a shower, by the way. Taylor is at the Brea Improv Thursday night at 8. Tickets available at TaylorWilliamson.com. And then same site for Friday at the Rec Room Comedy Club in Huntington Beach. Taylor's funny, you guys. You should go see him. We'll be right back with more right after this on K-Rock.
Comedian Taylor Williamson is in the studio with us.
Oh, hey guys. I saw Paul Simon last night.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
You know that guy? Good friend of mine.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
I love Paul Simon. He's doing his farewell tour. This was his, third night at the Hollywood Bowl, I think.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I told Dave the King of Mexico, I saw Paul Simon. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, who's that? And he's like, oh,
it's not surprising.
Is that the tiny man with the tiny man with the big guitar?
I mean, yeah.
I guess.
Sure.
That is him, yeah.
But I think the guitar is normal sized, right?
You're a young person to be going to a Paul Simon concert, Taylor. No offense.
I learned that last night.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen so many white people in my entire life, elderly white people.
Yes, that's his audience right there, for sure. Hey, Taylor, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First of all, you went to the Weenie Roast.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for having me.
Did you get recognized a lot there with the Kevin Bean audience where you were sitting?
Yeah, your fans are the so scary looking.
Really?
The ones who come up to me. There's so many beautiful people there, obviously.
They're scary looking.
But there's these like people who are just like jacked up dudes with tattoos and stuff. And
right, but aren't they the nicest people in the world?
Well, do you want to tell the story or do you want me to tell the story?
Sorry. Wow.
Wow.
Slapped down by Taylor.
But like,
all right, go ahead.
But like four times this happened to me. Hey, Taylor. And then I turn around and I'm just like, oh my God, what did I do? And then they're like, hey, man, you're really funny, man. I saw you at Foolishness, man. And then I'm like, thank you so much. And then they're like, oh, my girl wants to meet you. Hold on a second. And then I go get her. Then I run away.
Why do you run away?
Because I'm scared.
Why?
These guys have tattoos.
But he said he thinks you're funny.
That's what they say. That's what they tell you, you know?
Before they, what, beat you up?
He's going to get some friends to beat me up.
He's not. He's going to get his girlfriend. He comes back.
Yeah,
he
right.
promises her that she's going to get to meet you and you're gone.
Listen, if you're listening, dude, I'm sorry. And tell her to come to my show this weekend and I'll free meet and greet.
Oh, it's a free meet and greet. I forgot. Taylor, aren't we well past the age where people with tattoos are scary?
Agreed.
I mean, seriously.
Listen, I go to Paul Simon concerts.
Well, oh, that's right. Yeah. So it looks dangerous to you, I guess.
Do you know what else is scary to me, though? You guys hooked me up with a really cool ticket to your show, you know?
Right.
And then I had to sit next to, my seat was next to Kevin.
Right.
That's the scariest thing. I had to run away from that, too.
What was scary about it? Why did you have to run away?
Well, I saw you for like a minute, you know? And then I was like, hey, man. And you were like so nice and stuff. And I was like, I got to get out of here.
Why? Why is that your response?
Because like, nothing.
I wasn't mean to you.
You were very kind.
Right.
You're full of love and kindness.
Okay, so what made you think I need to go?
But like, something bad could happen.
I think we're losing Taylor.
What's happening? What do you mean something bad could happen?
Only nothing bad can happen if I'm not sitting next to you. But then if I'm sitting next to you, something bad could happen. I don't know.
What do you think could happen?
What if I'm like watching like 30 Seconds to Mars,
right?
And then I like, and then like, I don't know.
And a meteor hits you?
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, this. Or what if, how about this? What if I'm watching 30 Seconds to Mars with you? And then that guy comes by with his girlfriend and like, they're like, that's the guy who wouldn't.
That's the guy that ran away.
And then they beat me up.
And they beat you
and they
up.
Oh, that's his friend. And they don't know what you look like because they listen to your show, but they never
right.
look at your face. And they beat up both of us.
Please.
And then,
please.
I think that's a very realistic fear, Taylor. I think it's very likely that might happen.
You're so weird. You're so weird that. And I thought that you were nice too. And so then all of a sudden you were gone. And I was like, what's happening? I don't understand. Your response to everything is to run.
Listen, life is scary. Have you ever done the life before?
No, of course not. It's just one time. Do you have trouble serious question now. Do you sometimes have trouble leaving your apartment because you're afraid of what's going on in the world?
Well, bad things happen to me sometimes, you know?
Bad things happen to everyone sometimes.
Like, I heard Beer Mug's cop story, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, I have, a better, worse one, I think.
Okay.
But, so I was, it's, when I was 20 years old, I was sitting in my, outside my apartment building in Northridge. I went to CSUN for, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
No degree, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Thank you so much. And then,
congrats on getting into CSUN.
Oh, I got in through nepotism.
Okay. Just, right. Hey, next time, just say thanks. Take credit for it.
I'm not even kidding.
Is there such thing as a legacy program at CSUN?
Listen, am I an alumni? Does that count if you
If you did not graduate? I'm not sure if you're an alumni. I don't know how that works.
I think so, because alumni basically means they want more money from you.
Oh yeah, and I'm not an alumni. Okay.
All right, so you're sitting in your car.
So it's midnight, and I'm cleaning out my car across the street from campus where I lived, and this guy walks up to my car. He's like, "Hey man, do you know the bus schedule? You know?" And then I didn't know the bus schedule, but this guy happened to be African American. I was 20 and full of white guilt like crazy. I was an idiot, and I didn't want him to think I was racist. So my stupid white guilt mind told me to open my door completely to be like, "I don't know the bus schedule, sir." Which is the weirdest reaction you could do if someone's
right. Why would
you
open the door completely?
But I'm so not afraid of you. Right. I'm going to give you complete access to my car.
That was my brain at 20. The guy, I said, "I can't help you out." And I was actually helping him out because he was a carjacker.
I'm sorry.
He was.
Yeah, he pulled me out of my car. And then his buddy got in, and he had a friend. I think it's a wonderful thing. And then I think everyone should have friends. And then he couldn't start the car. He's like, "What'd you do this thing?" I was like, "It's a stick shift." He didn't know how to drive a stick shift.
Sweet. So he just gave it back?
So he said, "Take us where we need to go, and it won't hurt you." And I drove him and his buddy to the destination. And I called the police. They got out of the car. They didn't hurt me or steal anything or say thank you, but whatever, you know? And then
so you invented Uber.
I was the first Uber. Lyft, sir. And then I called the police, and I got the helicopter and everything. And the cops didn't believe me.
What do you mean they didn't believe you?
They didn't believe that I had that people tried to steal my car, but then they couldn't. And then I offered to give them a ride afterwards.
Because that's a super weird thing. It's a super weird thing. Were they sitting in the car when they said, "Take us where we want to go"?
They were in the car. I was on the ground in the middle of the street.
Okay.
And then, and Oprah says, "Don't get back into the car." Public service announcement. Don't ever get back in the car, for real.
If Oprah says it.
Yeah.
Sure.
For real. But then the cops thought I was on drugs. And then they said, your eyes are dilated, you're on drugs. You know?
Right.
Were you on drugs?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I was scared.
Right.
You were just frightened because they tried to take your car.
But at least you proved you weren't racist, Taylor. All right. Taylor Williamson is here. You can see him this Friday night at the Rec Room Comedy Club at HB, 7:30 p.m. Friday night. And then now I got the date right. Your Thursday, June 28th appearance is going to be at the Bray Improv. Tickets are on sale for both shows at Taylor's website. Before you go, how about 60 Seconds with Taylor Williamson?
All right. Just rapid fire question. Just say whatever you want. Comes to your mind.
Okay.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. What were you like in high school?
What's the word for had sex a lot?
What's the most embarrassing TV show you enjoy?
The View.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Probably my name.
What do you rewatch? What movie do you rewatch every time you come across it?
Oh, man, this is hard. I like Animal House a lot.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
I have poor hearing in my left ear because I had a tumor when I was a child.
Do you wish that you hadn't posted this on Twitter?
I promise all of you that I will never, ever become a crazy cat lady. I think I might be a crazy dog lady, though.
Yes, I do. I didn't know that until now, but I do regret that.
Have you ever been in a fight?
I've been beaten up several times. But
so that's not really being in a fight.
I don't know if that counts as a fight.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No.
Wait,
what's the next one?
When was the last time you had sex?
Oh, let's stop.
And then the following one was, when was the last time you had sex twice with the same woman? But we didn't have time
for either. Do people do that? Do people get to do that?
Do people get to do that?
How do you do that?
Taylor thought it was a one and done situation.
Wait, I thought it's like, wait, what?
Again, Taylor Williamson is going to be this Friday, June 1st at 7:30. You can buy tickets at taylorwilliamson.com. Thank you for coming in.
Wait, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I also have a comedy special I just released. It's on Amazon Prime. It's free.
Right.
On Amazon Prime.
Right.
My first ever comedy special.
You want to tell people the name?
It's called Please Like Me.
Okay.
I wanted to change the name at the last second. They're like, you can't change it. So I'm not like proud of their name. But I feel like it's definitely Taylor Wilson on Amazon Prime. You can watch it.
And watch it for free.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But listen, I really like you guys a lot.
Thank you. Does that mean you're going to run away now?
Wait, can I stay?
No.
You seem like you're wrapping up.
Well, I mean, we are wrapping up.
So I was trying to wrap up so you could kick me off. I was like, I got to get going.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I say, do you want to stay? And then you go, oh, I got stuff to do.
But I'll stay.
No. Come on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
How about an overnight stay at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas and round-trip transportation to Las Vegas in the K-Rock Blink bus to see Blink-182? How about all that?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
5 minutes from right now, kids. 5 minutes from right now. It can all be yours here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Tuesday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Long weekend. You want to know about box office numbers?
Sure.
Solo, A Star Wars Story, came in number one, but less than it was expected to take in. It was expected around $130 million, and it pulled in $103 million, followed by Deadpool 2.
May I ask you guys?
Sure.
Especially since you both saw it and both loved it,
mm-hmm.
nothing was going to keep you from this movie.
Correct.
No.
Why do you think more people didn't go see it? Why do you think this is less than, say, Last Jedi and Rogue One and the other Star Wars movies lately?
I don't know. I think that first trailer hurt them.
Yeah.
Because the first trailer was really sort of weak, and we were all like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But then the trailers got better. I don't know.
There was also a big fanboy boycott. I think there was also a lot of backlash against The Last Jedi, which, again, I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It just, people get really up in their feelings about Star Wars, and it's bizarre to me. It is really bizarre.
The only other thing I could think is Deadpool 2 is still out there, which a lot of people wanted to see. Avengers is still out there. I mean, there's some really strong movies that people are still going to see, whereas at a different time, more of them may have ended up at Star Wars.
By the way, we are still talking about a movie that made $103 million.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to end up being very, very profitable for Disney. They got nothing to complain about.
And I got to tell you, it is great.
Right?
It is so fun. I mentioned before that I have a new favorite droid, and people thought, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Allie. There's no way you could love a droid.
That's what I thought until I saw the movie.
Right?
I was like, she's totally right.
Oh, my God. So good. Just really good. And how about, I brought this up before. I had issues with the first trailer. We just talked about that. I had issues with him being Han. By the end of the movie, I was like, can't wait for the next one with this kid.
Yeah, he was great.
He grows on you through that movie, and you wind up loving him at the end.
And he really does have the same attitude that Han Solo
has. He does. Yeah. He has the swagger,
and
I wasn't expecting it.
Agreed.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised if you give yourself a little time at the theater. Go see it. It's wonderful.
And Lando was doing it with L3, right?
100%.
Okay,
he
just
was
to make sure
banging
I
the hell out of that droid.
I was missing that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
And how great was she, first of all?
Great.
Let me just tell you a little bit about her. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and I love her from a TV show that she does called Fleabag that is on Amazon, which is one of the most fantastic, funny shows, really irreverent, really inappropriate, really great.
Yes,
and
very
then
dirty.
She decides, oh, I'm going to create the best assassin TV show called Killing Eve with Sandra Oh that's on BBC right now. Just had the finale on Sunday. It is wonderful.
I've
been talking that show up all freaking season. And guess what happens? Bean? What?
I started it last night, and it's amazing.
His words were, why haven't you talked about this? I haven't stopped talking about it.
It's real good, you guys.
It's so good.
You'll love this assassin. You'll love her, Kevin.
Oh, you'll fall in love with her. For sure.
I love stories about assassins anyway.
Yeah. She's really funny, really bad.
So Fleabag, Killing Eve, and now she's the runaway favorite droid out of the new Solo movie.
And
she's got a lot going on.
And I think I read somewhere that she was just improvising a lot of the stuff.
Yes. yeah.
that that droid said, which and it was all very funny.
When Lando heads back and he says, "Can I get you anything?" And she says that line. I just whispered it to Kevin off the air. That was all improv. You guys, go see Solo, A Star Wars Story. It's really, really good. Anywho, where was I? Number three? Kevin just flipped me off. He hates when I say anywho. Book Club came in at number four, followed by Life of the Party, Breaking In, Show Dogs, Overboard, A Quiet Place, and Bean's Movie of the Year, RBG.
Yay!
Again, kids don't care about
the
Ruth
kids
Bader
love
Ginsburg
her.
Came in at number 10. I now that I'm a big connoisseur of the Bond movies,
are you now?
Having seen my first one, you'll be happy to know that it's official. Daniel Craig will be back as 007 in the upcoming 25th. Yes, a smattering of applause. In the upcoming 25th James Bond film with Trainspotting and Slumdog Millionaire's Danny Boyle directing.
Sweet.
That was always He's the so rumor. Great. It is now confirmed.
I love
remember,
that.
Remember when Daniel Craig came out after one of the Bond movies and said he's not going to do it anymore?
Yeah.
And then everybody went crazy.
Right.
And then he had to do sort of an apology tour that included doing our show. We were like, this poor bastard doesn't want to do our show. But
and we thought, okay, he's not really going to want to talk about much. He's probably going to hate doing this. Couldn't have been more charming. Couldn't have been more funny.
Yeah.
And then when Danny Boyle was in here, oh, I think he's one of my all-time favorites.
Same.
Danny Boyle.
Same.
Great director.
Yes. Well,
great director, great person.
They confirmed the news on Friday, and Bond 25 will begin filming in December at London's Pinewood Studios. No word on plot details, of course, but the film will be in theaters November 8th of 2019. So we all have that to look forward
make
to.
All right.
Let me make a note here.
And I don't know where you guys are going to be August 17th, but I will be sitting in the theater, hopefully for my third or fourth time, because I fully expect to be invited to the screening, because I've been talking up the goddamn Happy Time Murders since I found out about its casting forever ago.
Yeah, and it's great.
If you don't know about it, it's Melissa McCarthy. It's the Happy Time puppets. Someone's murdering them. She's on the case. These puppets are, they're doing blow. They're all over the place.
Right, sure.
Nobody could see what I just did, but trust me, if you watch the Red Band trailer, you'll know what I just did. It is...
Don't watch it at work, however.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. It is one of the greatest trailers I have ever seen in my life.
Pretty strong.
The folks over at Sesame Street do not agree. They have filed a lawsuit against STX Entertainment, claiming that the company's marketing for the movie uses scenes of drug use, sex, and other foul behavior by puppets, and the tagline...
Yeah, that's why I want to see it.
Right. But the tagline, "No Sesame, All Street," is tarnishing their Sesame Street brand.
It says no sesame.
Which to me means that these people think that their puppets would be cooler, right? If they did sex and other foul behavior. That's what this is all about. The people at Sesame Street are like, I wish our puppets could do it. Therefore, you're tarnishing our brand because they can't. See how I turned it around?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that happened.
It's probably not how it's all going to work. But whether the current marketing continues... Don't know, but the film is scheduled to open in theaters August 17th. Brian Henson, Henson Company. I mean, if you're listening, I love you.
She'd like to go to a screening.
Would like to see a screening.
Right.
And be Melissa McCarthy's best friend. Remember when you guys told her how much I loved her and then she pretended to hang up?
Yeah, that was fun. Uh-huh.
That was awesome. She's the best.
She is the best.
Some birthdays for you. Mel B, Laverne Cox, Noel Gallagher, Annette Bening, Daniel Tosh, Danny Elfman, and Rupert Everett. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Thinking about that Las Vegas pregame show again. It really is.
It's the worst.
You really do have to see it. To do justice.
It's really truly terrible.
It is.
And I just got a tweet from somebody that said, the Vegas fans sure seem to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
And I said, they would love beat poetry if, with the run they're on, they're already sky high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're in the Stanley Cup final, and they've already won game one.
Yeah.
You could put somebody out there doing card tricks, and they would be thrilled.
Muggs was just saying off the air, if you had put $20 down on the Golden Knights before the season began, you would win how much, Beer Muff?
$10,000.
Wow.
But do we want to go to Beer Mug as our final source for anything?
When it comes to gambling, probably
not. Okay.
All right, 9:42. It's a Tuesday morning here on KROQ. We got time for one more. What's happening? Here's Ali.
I remember when Roseanne Barr left Twitter about a month ago. She had said some really inappropriate things. She
Roseanne Barr
called out on her conspiracy theories that she does. So she's like, "That's it. I'm out." And then she, of course, couldn't stay away, and she came back to Twitter. Well, she is a treat. She is a real treat. She made a pretty racist tweet today about President Obama's senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett. I mean, if you consider her saying Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby, if you consider that racist.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
She's unfreaking real. So
and this
of course,
was an African American person she's describing.
Iranian and African American. Okay. So, that's a problem.
Here's my thing, though. You're in the media enough to know, even if you are that stupid and you think that kind of racist thing, don't say it out loud.
She has a very big audience that
that
believe that her conspiracy theories are real.
Ooh.
That kind of look to her as a voice for them.
Ooh.
And she is she's supplying a voice.
Wow.
That is for darn sure. She has since said she's leaving Twitter again. And then she just put this out. I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and to all Americans. I'm truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive me. My joke was in bad taste. Was it a joke?
Doesn't
I don't
sound
think
like
it was really a joke. But Wanda Sykes, who's credited as a consulting producer on Roseanne's show on ABC called Roseanne, tweeted this. I will not be returning to Roseanne.
Oh, wow.
So she's out. ABC has to, at some point, address this, right?
Are they making money?
Yes, a lot of money.
Okay.
A ton of money.
Hmm.
So maybe they don't address it, they just let it go?
Until maybe the money starts to decline?
Yeah.
Which can happen.
It's just...
backlash.
It is bad form.
He's a delight.
We will see if she leaves Twitter again. It would behoove her, if she cannot control what she says,
agreed,
to get off all social media, and that would be nice. But she won't. I think I can safely say that. I believe I can. Let's move on to something happy, like a Weezer fan Twitter account called @WeezerAfrica. They have been hounding Weezer for months to cover the 1982 song by Toto, Africa. For months.
Why once?
Mm-hmm.
And then why months?
Because this person that runs this account learned about the song by watching Netflix's Stranger Things.
Okay.
Turns out the person that runs this account is a 14-year-old.
Okay.
And I love it so much that this 14-year-old is just hounding Weezer. Please cover it. Please cover it. So Weezer decided that they would post a cover of Toto's song. However, it was Rosanna. Not Africa at all, which then prompted a bemused response from @WeezerAfrica. Hashtag Weezer cover Africa turned into hashtag Weezer covering Rosanna? ? But Weezer has done the right thing. They have stopped trolling this 14-year-old child.
I love that they're trolling
who just wants to hear Africa by Toto done by their favorite band Weezer. And they have put it out. It is by far the most Africa cover of Africa.
I mean, it's Africa.
I've ever heard.
It's the same song done in the same way.
Absolutely. There are some Weezer-esque power chords in the chorus, but other than that, it's Africa.
I mean, it's not bad. It's good.
It's amazing. If you ask me, though.
That is so Africa that Roseanne will hate it.
Well played.
Oh, Bean. I think you're terrific. Here's the thing. If you had to tell me If you had me guess who that was, I would never say Weezer.
Of course.
That's how good they are at sounding like Toto, right? Which I don't know if that was their point.
It is bizarre that they got in the studio and recorded two different songs by Toto.
I do
love it. For one Twitter account.
You guys, what if this is Weezer's big plan? That they're behind this whole Twitter account because they have a huge cover album of all Toto covers coming out. Right? Conspiracy
Sounds like
alley.
A good plan.
Real good plan.
It's a terrible plan.
Well, a great plan to get into the Guinness Book of World Records is to build the world's biggest gin and juice. And who would do that other than Snoop with some help from Warren G and Top Chef winner Michael Voltaggio? He did just that Saturday.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
He was up at the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival. During his set, he made the biggest ever version of the cocktail Gin and Juice. It was a 5-foot-tall product containing 180 bottles of Hendrix gin plus juice donated by Whole Foods. That is that's a lot of gin and juice.
I'm guessing he didn't break a record because that record didn't exist.
He set a Guinness World Record, yeah. But someone's got to topple that, right?
I don't know how you could or why you would.
I mean, you use 181 bottles of Hendrix gin.
Snoop D-O-double-G. How you doing, man?
I'm back on the block. What do you do, nephew?
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Beat and Snoop, best friends.
And Sir Paul McCartney gave his okay for the Beatles to use one of their classics. You know the song, With a Little Help from My Friends?
Sure.
Sure.
It's going to be re-recorded to mark the birthday of Britain's National Health Service. The NHS is going to use it in an ad now with some of the UK's finest British pop singers doing a re-recording of it. What do you think? You in?
I don't care.
Okay.
Mostly.
All right. Bean, you're a Beatles guy. You want to hear that redone?
No.
Okay. Didn't think so. But what if it's a good thing for the NHS?
I mean,
good?
I'm not against it happening, but it can happen without me, right?
Agreed.
Yes. You don't have to be a part of it.
Good luck to them. I hope they enjoy it.
All right.
Not against it.
Some birthdays for you. Danny Elfman, Rupert Everett, Annette Bening, Daniel Tosh, Noel Gallagher, Laverne Cox, and Mel B. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Help tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Bean makes us guess. We have the top 10 Star Wars characters, which we're already arguing over.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sarah Shahi.
The best.
She's in the studio. She's straight crazy.
Nuts. In the best way.
In the best way, yes. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.